Welcome to episode 364 of the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I'm Ashley Scott Myers, screenwriter and blogger over at sellingyourscreenplay.com. Today I'm interviewing John Suits. He has been on the podcast twice before, in episode 44 with his film The Scribbler, and also episode 309 with his sci-fi film called 3022. And now he is back on the show to talk about his latest film called Breach, which is a sci-fi film starring Bruce Willis. John also directed the new Die Hard Battery commercial, where Bruce Willis reprised his role from the iconic 80s Die Hard film. We talk about that, how he got into getting that commercial gig, and ultimately how he got this feature film. So stay tuned for that interview. If you find this episode valuable, please help me out by giving me a review in iTunes or leaving a comment on YouTube or retweeting the podcast on Twitter or liking or sharing it on Facebook. These social media shares really do help spread word about the podcast, so they're very much appreciated. Any websites or links that I mention in the podcast can be found on my blog in the show notes. I also publish a transcript with every episode in case you'd rather read the show or look at something later on. You can find all the podcast show notes at www.sellingyourscreenplay.com/podcast, and then just look for episode number 364. If you want my free guide, How to Sell a Screenplay in 5 weeks, you can pick that up by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. It's completely free. You just put in your email address and I'll send you a new lesson once per week for 5 weeks, along with a bunch of bonus lessons. I'll teach the whole process of how to sell your screenplay in that guide. I'll teach you how to write a professional logline and query letter, and how to find agents, managers, and producers who are looking for material. Really is everything you need to know to sell your screenplay. Just go to sellingyourscreenplay.com/guide. Quick few words about what I'm working on. The main thing I've been doing the last couple weeks, in addition to still working on my film, The Rideshare Killer, is getting the SYS's six-figure screenplay contest ready to launch. We're opening for submissions on February 1st, so if you have a low-budget script, definitely check it out when we open. The early bird deadline will begin, obviously, February 1st, and it will run through the end of March. But definitely don't wait if your script is ready. We're offering notes from our readers as an add-on if you'd like to see what our first round readers thought of your screenplay. We've got a ton of producers lined up, just like last year, as industry judges, so there's a good possibility of getting some industry exposure for your script. We've created a short film category too, so if you have a short, low-budget short script, that's definitely eligible this year. To learn more about the contest, just go to sellingyourscreenplay.com/contest. So now let's get into the main segment. Today I'm interviewing filmmaker John Suits. Here is the interview. Welcome, John, to the Selling Your Screenplay podcast. I really appreciate you coming on the show with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you've been on the podcast now twice, so I'll point people to those episodes. If you haven't already listened to them, check out episode 44, where we talked about your film, The Scribbler, and then episode 309, where we talked about your film, 3022. In episode 44, we talked a lot about your origin, how you got into the business, so I definitely will direct people back to that episode if they want to kind of learn more about your background. But today we're going to talk about your latest film, Breach, starring Bruce Willis. So maybe to start out, you can give us a quick pitch or log line. What is this new film all about?
Yeah, so it's basically about where a plague, is ravaging Earth. So there's an ARC, sort of interstellar spaceship that is going to a new Earth. And on the ship, there is an alien aboard that starts infecting the crew.
Gotcha. And so how did you get involved with this project? How did you get attached as director? Was the script already developed and people brought it to you? Maybe talk about that process a little bit.
Yeah, so it actually is quite different than how I usually would get involved with movies. So, with 3022 or The Scribbler, for example, like those would be projects that I searched out the scripts and then developed them and did the casting and was producing on them as well. And so this was much more, I have since, been focused more on doing commercials and directing commercials. And then I did 3022. And then this project, because it was a movie I'd always wanted to make before I started doing commercials. And then this project, actually, while I was in post on 3022, I was approached by Danny Roth, who's the producer on it, that was a producer on a movie I did called Pandemic. And he's like, hey, I've got this end of the world spaceship movie. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just working on one of those. But then he was like, and it's got Bruce Willis in it. So that, I grew up loving Bruce Willis movies, and that seemed like a really cool, exciting opportunity. So, we spoke about it, and Corey Large, who's a producer and writer on it, really great collaborator and great to work with. And, I was brought into the process much later than I'm used to. And then also in a way that is different than what I'm used to, where, when you're also producing, you know, you have a lot more control, but you also have a lot more responsibility. So in a situation like this where you're brought in, there's a lot of nice things about just sort of being the director, you know, like a hired director versus, you know, having to deal with all the other parts as well.
Yeah, sure. So what was the, you mentioned another name, Corey Large. Was there another producer you mentioned right before that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so Danny Roth is the other producer, and that's the one who I'd worked with on the movie Pandemic.
Gotcha.
Sent me the project.
Okay, perfect, yeah. Okay, so just talk about this process. So then they pitch you on the idea. Obviously, they have Bruce Willis attached. That's obviously a great, you know, asset to have on any project. You read the script. Talk about that process a little bit. You read the script. Do you have any notes for it? How did you work with the writers? Were there some rewrites on the script? What was that process like?
Yeah, there's definitely some rewriting and stuff like that, and sort of trying to find a happy medium for everybody, and you know, and also trying to make it something that we could shoot. You know, the shoot was 15 days, so it's obviously very aggressive, and you know, having to figure out how to make it so that we can make the most of that time. You know, and so I think, and it was fun for me too, in that it was you know, I just had done again 3022, but that's a much more of a sort of somber, introspective, you know, depressing film, whereas this one takes a similar concept, but you know, you have a lot more fun with it. So you know, there's definitely, that was a neat challenge, and so we just kind of, you know, was trying to figure out how to kind of construct in a way where everybody felt good about it, and we could, you know, also accomplish it.
Yeah. Was there some particular projects that these guys, they thought you would be a good director for this project? You mentioned Pandemic, 3022. They were similar enough, sort of sci-fi enough, that they thought you'd be a good fit for this. Just, have you reached a point in your career where your name is getting sort of thrown around in these types of pools, and people are pitching you these types of projects?
You know, I think once you've kind of done one of these movies, that you're kind of getting to this world, and then there's a bunch of movies that are in this kind of budget range, and you know, with sort of cool stars like a Bruce Willis. So there's definitely, you know, once you've done that, you get in those conversations, so that people do approach you with projects like that. And you know, and then, so for me, since having kids, like I was saying, mostly I've been more focused on commercials. And so then when these come up, it's just sort of figuring out when the timing's right, and, you know, and when I've got the energy again to kind of do it. So that's always the struggle. And it's also just a very different, you know, medium in a lot of ways, going between the two, because I think I was talking earlier about, actually shortly after I got to direct a commercial with Bruce Willis, it was for Die Hard Batteries. And in that, we had 4 days to make something that was 2 minutes long, you know, so that's a different mm-hmm. approach to when you got 15 days, it makes only 90 minutes long, you know, so it's kind of a, but I always, whenever I'm away from movies for too long, I miss it, and you know, I need to like exercise that muscle again.
Yeah, and so let's just talk about that. I think most people listening to this podcast, like, you were doing these independent movies, and then you sort of transitioned into doing more commercials. Now you're coming back into the features, but I think most people would intuitively think you go from commercials to features and you never look back to commercials. What is the hook for you to go and shoot commercials?
Yeah, I mean, and when I was first doing features, I was like, I never thought I would do commercials, to be honest. But I, for me personally, you know, I mean, the major factor was kids. You know, after my second kid was born, which is, you know, she's 5 and a half now, you know, that's when I sort of got burnt out on movies and was trying to figure out something that was better for work-life balance, you know, and in commercials, you know, like with Breach, I had to go to Georgia for 2 months, and that's tough, you know, whereas the commercial, a much more contained shoot schedule, you know, where it's 1 to 5 days max, you know, and so I think that was really appealing, just because, you know, it just is a thing where obviously having kids just kind of changes you in that way, but then I do just always end up missing movies, and then, you know, I talk my wife into letting me do another one, and then you know, then I don't miss them again for a bit, and I'm sort of burn out again, and they're like, okay, now I gotta do another one. And so sort of finding that balance where, you know, and I'm always very appreciative for the opportunity when I get to work on a movie, and you know, but yeah, but it takes a lot of energy, you know, emotional, physical, you know, mental, and so you have to be very focused on it for that period of time, and that sort of means that there's other parts of your life where you can't disconnect in the same way you can when you're doing a commercial. So I think that's kind of what attracted me to it. Sure. And but I know it's kind of backwards, but for now it's worked well as our kids are young.
Yeah, I'm curious. So you were directing these independent films. Did you have an agent, a manager? How do you divert your career into commercials? How did you start to get those gigs? Did you just go to your agent and say, listen, basically gave them the same spiel you just gave us. I'm having kids. I want a little more work-life balance. And then they start, you know, sending you out on these commercial shoots and getting you into with the agencies and stuff. How does that process work?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. I mean, honestly, I somehow I've sort of never had an agent or manager, so I just kind of like done it on my own. It's not for, I guess I just haven't put the effort into it, you know, ever. And I think a lot of times when you're sort of doing independent films and you're in that space, you know, as long as you can make them at a certain level, I don't, you know, it may not be the thing where the agent could help you as much as you can if you're either trying to break into independent films or trying to do studio films. So I haven't ever really functioned that way. And it was more so I guess it was 4.5 years ago or so, I got a job. Like I was totally done with movies and got like a full-time job working as an agency producer. So like working, producing commercials. And then that just, I started directing commercials. And then now I've started my own company, Natural Selection, directing commercials. But it was kind of like a total reset, you know, and it was someone having to take a risk on me because I had no experience in that field. And it's sort of a funny thing where when all you've done your whole life is movies, it doesn't prepare you for very much outside of that space. So it was kind of a whole weird random way that I got into it. But that's sort of, so for like the last 4 years, I've been doing that. But I also, you know, did 3022. And then now Breach, because I took, you know, a couple of years off, and then I realized I missed movies. So, you know, but now it's just fine. Whereas before, I think when I was doing independent films, I was doing 3 or 4 a year, mostly producing. Now if I'm doing, you know, one every year or two, I think that's a better balance.
Sure.
Everyone.
Yep, I totally hear you. So let's talk about working with Bruce Willis a little bit. And you just mentioned the Die Hard commercial. So maybe talk about that a little bit. Was the Die Hard commercial before Breach or was Breach after it? And how much did that relationship play into you being the right director for one versus, you know, you once you had a relationship with Bruce Willis and he likes you as a director, it must make it easier to then get on the feature or the commercial, depending on which came first.
Yeah, so the feature is shot last October, November, and then the commercial is sort of a funny thing where I think it's talking similar to how I ended up getting 2 spaceship movies in a year. I have the agency, they were like randomly had this commercial with Bruce Willis, and I was like, I just worked with him, you know, so I had to bid on it, and I definitely think it probably helped that I'd worked with him recently, and, you know, we got along well and everything, so I think that definitely helped me to in the bidding process. But we shot that, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, and I'm trying to remember when. I think it might have been July or August, maybe August. I should remember that, or September or something like that. But it wasn't that long ago.
Sure.
But we were in, you know, the middle of all of it, and you know, trying to shoot an action commercial like that, you know, where you can't have anybody close to each other, and we had to shoot all his scenes, like whenever he's in the car, we had to shoot him alone on a green screen, and then add in the actor played Argyle, you know, we had to comp him in with visual effects and all that stuff, making it with visual effects, and we had to actually build an advanced auto parts store rather than shooting a real one for COVID safety. So, you know, it was my first time doing something in the COVID era, and it's very different, and yeah, it requires a lot more planning and thinking through things.
Sure, sure. So I noticed with Breach, Corey Large and Edward Drake were the writers, and they have both done numerous movies with Bruce Willis. And I'm just curious how much that plays into it as well, that relationship. They're continuously doing it. Do they sign Bruce Willis to some sort of multi-picture deal? They just have a good working relationship, so they're able to just keep rolling him over from one project to another.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure exactly, but I know they have a good relationship with him. And I know, you know, Corey's known him for many years, and they're friends, and you know, they work a lot together, and you know, so I think that's probably a big part of it, you know. And so, but yeah, I'm not totally sure exactly how it all functions, but I know that's definitely a big piece of it.
Yeah, gotcha. So again, just looking at the movies that these guys are doing with Bruce Willis, including your own Breach, they're always sci-fi films. And why is that? Why are you putting Bruce Willis in a sci-fi film?
It's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, probably part of that, I think there's some science fiction films in the past that he's known for that people love. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I know for me, Fifth Element I love, and Looper and films like that come to mind. And so I think this, you know, for me, it's like I'd love to see Bruce in another science fiction movie. So I'm sure that's part of it, is, you know, just that that sort of desire. I feel like a lot of people probably want to see him doing that again. And, mm-hmm. and you know, there's just a lot of nostalgia around him, you know, where, again, for me, it's like, yeah, it's he's an icon, you know, and that is a big piece of, I think, why, you know, people are still intrigued by him, you know. Yeah. And yeah.
And why not put him in like an action movie? Certainly he's known for Die Hard, or even like a drama and comedy. I mean, certainly Bruce Willis, when he was doing Moonlighting, there was a lot of tongue-in-cheek comedy. He's done a number of comedies, so has some comedy chops. Why not put Bruce Willis in a comedy in this day and age? Or why not put him in a drama, or even an action film for that matter?
It's a great question. I mean, I know he's doing a lot of action films as well. But yeah, I'm not totally sure. I mean, I think it just depends on, you know, what people are interested in and what they gravitate towards, you know, mixed within what the market's asking for. And, you know, I think there's a bunch of different factors, but mm-hmm. I honestly can't speak from a place of expertise. So I don't, you know, gotcha. I don't really know, exactly why, but, you know, I know for me personally, like when I was approached for the project, you know, the science fiction movie, you know, with Bruce Willis, it's like, that sounds like a fun opportunity, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, and yeah, I always just have in my head those movies he did that I grew up on and mm-hmm. that I loved, you know?
And I always like to just end the interview by asking my guests what they've seen recently that they thought was really, really good. Is there anything on Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, anything you've seen recently that you thought would maybe a little under the radar that should get some notice?
Oh man, that's a great question. Gosh, I've been watching a lot of stuff, so I should have an answer ready for this. I mean, something I just finished watching, I don't think it's under the radar, but Gangs of London, I enjoyed a lot. You know, okay. I think that director is so talented. You know, did the Raid movies, Gareth Evans, and mm-hmm. so I think the way he shoots action sequences are sort of second to none. And so I thought that was a cool show. You know, and then I'm probably just watching what everybody else is watching these mm-hmm. days, like watching The Mandalorian and watching, you know, like stuff like that that I've been enjoying. So, I'm trying to think of it, something outside the box, which I don't know if I have anything.
No, that's good. I think what did you say? It was something about London. What was the name of that?
Oh, Gangs of London.
Gangs of London. Yeah, I haven't heard of that one. So that's a good tip. Yeah, I think our users can check that out.
Yeah, I think it's on AMC Plus, okay. I believe.
Okay, perfect, yeah. Perfect.
Oh, and one other actually smaller. Sorry, I just heard one smaller budget movie I watched, which I enjoyed, was Prospect, which is that sci-fi movie with Pedro Pascal.
Okay.
Which I think is on Netflix. It's a cool little sci-fi movie.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Yeah, a good tip. Yeah. How can people see Breach? Do you know what the release schedule is going to be like?
Well, December 18th, I know it's in theaters and then VOD and digital. So I think that's kind of where you can see it everywhere. And I know, obviously, with the pandemic, all things around theaters are confusing. Mm-hmm. So I don't totally know, you know, where and how it's playing in that capacity. But I know it will be. But yeah, so it's December 18th is the day.
Gotcha. And what's the best way for people to keep up with it? You're doing Twitter, Facebook, a blog, anything you're comfortable sharing, I'll round up for the show notes.
Yeah, so someone asked me that earlier, and I have my commercial production company website is natural-selection.tv. So that's where I put commercial stuff. And then I have a personal site that's johnsuitsfilms.com. And then I was saying that I just got on Instagram. I don't know how to use it yet, but as Natural Selection, like for that, I'm on Instagram now, and some perfect. People I work with are helping me manage it, but I'm still learning it.
Gotcha.
To be honest.
Gotcha. Yeah, no worries at all. So, well, John, good luck with this film and all your future films. It's a pleasure talking with you again.
Yeah, always great to talk to you, and thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, thank you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Have a good one. Thanks. Bye.
I just want to talk quickly about SYS Select. It's a service for screenwriters to help them sell their screenplays and get writing assignments. The first part of the service is the SYS Select Screenplay Database. Screenwriters upload their screenplays along with a logline, synopsis, and other pertinent information like budget and genre, and then producers search for and hopefully find screenplays they want to produce. Dozens of producers are in the system looking for screenplays right now. There have been a number of success stories come out of the service. You can find out about all the SYS Select successes by going to sellingyourscreenplay.com/success. Also on SYS podcast episode 222, I talk with Steve Deering, who was the first official success story to come out of the SYS Select database. When you join SYS Select, you get access to the screenplay database along with all the other services that we're providing to SYS Select members. These services include the newsletter. This monthly newsletter goes out to a list of over 400 producers who are actively seeking writers and screenplays. Each SYS Select member can pitch one screenplay in this monthly newsletter. We also provide screenwriting leads. We have partnered with one of the premier paid screenwriting leads services, so I can syndicate their leads to SYS Select members. There are lots of great paid leads coming in each week from our partner. Recently, we've been getting 5 to 10 high-quality paid leads per week. These leads run the gamut. There's producers looking for a specific type of spec script to producers looking to hire a screenwriter to write up one of their ideas or properties. They're looking for shorts, features, TV, and web series pilots, all types of projects. If you sign up for SYS Select, you'll get these leads emailed directly to you several times per week. Also, you get access to the SYS Select forum, where we will help you with your logline and query letter and answer any screenwriting related questions that you might have. We also have a number of screenwriting classes that are recorded and available in the SYS Select forum. These are all the classes that I've done over the years, so you'll have access to those whenever you want. Once you join, the classes cover every part of writing your screenplay, from concept to outlining to the first act, second act, third act, as well as other topics like writing short films and pitching your projects in person. Once again, if this sounds like something you'd like to learn more about, please go to sellingyourscreenplayselect.com. Again, that is sellingyourscreenplayselect.com. On the next episode of the podcast, I'm going to be interviewing Bob Zoetiker, who is a television writer and also an actor. He comes on the show to talk about his career, how he got into the business, how he got his start. And really, he was doing stuff outside of Hollywood as an actor, and then eventually started writing and selling some spec scripts. His first script was a script he co-wrote with his wife called Newsies. And then he went on to write many big Disney films, including Anastasia and Tarzan. So keep an eye out for that episode next week. That's the show. Thank you for listening.